So, after all that about not just spitting out a bunch of facts, I'm just going to spit out a bunch of facts now. Yeah. This is the portion, we've done this the last several years, and I pray that every year it's helpful. I don't want to just be wasting everybody's time, so I hope this is helpful. But I try to give just some reminders, and this is I guess more of an application for our teachers and our church as a reminder, but it'll be beneficial to others if they want to put it into practice. But just some reminders about our classes, all right? So I do have a bunch of things I'm just going to go through quickly, and then we're going to go over that agreement that you have on the table there. The first thing I want to say is in any kind of absence, please let myself or Brother Bowen know immediately when you know you cannot make it to the class, all right? And we would prefer that you would just let either me or him know and don't go to another person to ask them to fill in for you. Just ask us first, okay? We may end up asking that person that you had on your mind or whoever the backup is for your class anyway, but just please let us know first. There might be other circumstances or things that you don't know about. And so please let us know as soon as you find out. If you know on a Thursday or Friday, hey, I'm not going to make it to church Sunday, something's come up, please let us know that day, not Sunday morning, about 10 minutes before your class when we're trying to find out where you're at. All right, so let us know. And even ahead of time, if you know, like, hey, you know, 3 weeks from now, I'm not going to be there. You know, next month or something. Miss Eric already did that for next month. She said, hey, this Sunday I won't be there. So let us know as much in advance as possible. And whoever's going to be substituting for you will be thankful for as much of a heads up as they can get. With that being said, if you're a backup for a class, you need to have a lesson ready at all times. I know that's hard to put all the time into what we just talked about. But the truth is, sometimes you're going to have to teach the last minute. It might even be we were on our way to church, something happened, we're not going to be there. And I might have to come and say, hey, you're teaching today, you're the backup. And so have something ready. That class, it might not be, involved as what it would be for a normal teacher, but have something ready, still try to make it interesting, have something on your heart and mind, ready at all times, and do not worry about picking up where the other teacher left off or staying on the same theme. Don't worry about that. Let that teacher go back to that when they get back. Just have something ready. It could be something totally different. Don't worry about trying to make it match. And the teacher that missed, don't stress about missing a class. Just study and prepare to try to either blend it back in together, or if you're doing a theme and you need to, you know, make it work, however, just pray about that, but don't stress out over it, all right? So if you are teaching, whether you're substitute or not, if you know you're teaching that morning, please be here early. I would love, this is not a requirement, but it would be a blessing if everybody that was teaching was here for prayer. I mean, it'd be a blessing if you could be. One, you're here for prayer, and two, you're here early for your class. And so please be here early. We don't ever want the students to be sitting in the class waiting on the teacher to get there. All right? And I know there's some that get here super early, so we can't help that. But, I mean, try to be early. Whenever you're early to class, you have time to go in there, take a breath, pray over your class, get things set up, be prepared for when they come in, and you're able to not be as stressed when you're busting in the door and trying to get everything set up and get it all planned or however you're going to do it, especially for the younger classes. But please come early. And if you can, try to start coming to prayer and then be here for the class early. Another thing I try to encourage our teachers to do, and some of this stuff we've already covered in the first part I went over, but is not, like, do not ever stress out about not being able to get all your material in. The focus is not getting all the material done. The focus is whatever that thought is that God put on your heart for the lesson. And so I've had teachers come to me before and say, we just don't have enough time. I can't get it all in. Well, we're missing the point if our whole goal is to get everything in. Don't stress over that. Our material is a guideline sometimes, but the thought and the application, the understanding, all the things we already talked about, that is the purpose, not for you to get all the material in. Okay? The material is just a guideline. And so don't stress over getting it in. I encourage our classes too. Again, all this is a reminder. None of this is an indictment on anybody. But I encourage the classes to have some kind of organization and schedule to their class. Okay? Especially the younger classes, you need to do that. You need to have a time where you're going to learn a song, a time where you're going to go over a memory verse, a time for the lesson. And the younger they are, the more you need to have that kind of schedule put together, because if not, you're going to have pandemonium. If you're trying to figure out what to do next, they're going to take liberty to do whatever they want to do. And so you need to keep it going the whole time with the class, especially the younger ones. Brother Stephen sometimes lets the adult class get way out of hand. He calls on my dad to start talking. So, no, I'm just joking. Another thing, too, that I would like to see with all, especially all the kids' classes, is a Bible memorization mandatory. That's something we always do. They need to learn the Bible. Again, they can learn all the verses, have them memorized, and not understand them. So make the memory verse applicable to what you're teaching. So the verse they're learning, they understand it, they know how to apply it, and encourage them and show them how to put it into practice. So don't just pull a verse out of thin air and say, learn this verse. Okay? Let's give it some application to the one that they're learning. And again, use props, use illustrations, and I know there's some Sunday school teachers can't sing, but if you can add some music to your class, that helps. All right, and the next thing I want to just mention quickly is controlling the class, especially the younger classes. You've got to keep the class moving. When you go into the class, you have to have a plan. And I encourage you to maybe even have a plan that goes beyond your time limit, because you don't want to run out of time. As far as, I'll take that back. You don't want to run out of your plan when there's time left. You would rather say, oh man, look at that, time's up, than be standing there with 5 minutes left and sitting there with the kids. Okay? We don't ever want that at all, ever. So make a plan, have a schedule to your class. Again, you know, we talked about boring and not a routine to the point where they're bored with it, but it doesn't have to be boring. But with younger kids, you have to keep it moving. All right. And their attention span is small and short. And so, you know, you may have to do Bible memorization and then a song and then the lesson and then go back to the Bible memory verse and then finish up with a recap of the lesson and try to break it up. I mean, if you have a small class and you did 40 straight minutes of teaching, you've got about 5 minutes to 10 minutes with them and then they're done. That's just their attention span. That's their age. And so you've got to keep it relevant, keep it moving, and keep it interesting. In this area of controlling the class, also what I would like each teacher to do is pray over every student. Okay, that should be a given, but I'm just saying it. Pray over every student. And if there is a problem child in the class, or a problem adult, pray over that. Don't just immediately get upset or offended by it. Make it a matter of prayer. You'd be amazed by just taking some time to pray about something, what God could do. Pray over that child. You have no clue what's going on at home. Pray over the child. Let God help. Now, if that problem child is disruptive to the class, do not allow them to be disrespectful and disrupt the class. take that child and take it to their parent. If it's in our church, take them to their parent. Say, hey, I mean, if you have to come in and get Miss Sarah or me and say, hey, we got a problem. And I've had teachers had to do that. Come in and say, hey, we've got a problem with, you know, Emma. And so, and we got to deal with it. Or maybe you can handle it during class, but it was close to being out of bounds. Please, I think every parent in our church would want you to come and say, hey, would you please work on this because it's causing a problem in our class, all right? And I would hope the parent would say, yes, we'll do that, not get upset and say, oh, not my child. And so please just let them know. Now, I want us to use wisdom on this if it's a visitor, okay? A visiting child, especially if they've not ever been in church, they're going to be disruptive the entire class. So do not get up and come get the parent. Now, if they're violent, if it's a major problem. But what I want you to do before you go get a parent of a visiting child is I want you to come get Brother Bowen, or come get myself as a backup. But Brother Bowen's the go-to, okay? You have to stick your head in the door and point at Brother Bowen and say, can you come here? He's going to come out, and he will sit with that child in the class with you, or he'll sit with it somewhere or whatever until Sunday school's over. Because a visiting child that's never been, especially if they've never been to church, they don't know how to sit through church. And they might be disruptive. Miss Amanda could come up and tell you some stories about their bus kids and some of the language that they use with each other. And so you don't want it ever to be out of control or disruptive. If you can't get them to sit down, now be as patient as you can, especially with kids. But if you can't, and it's a visitor, now if it's one of the parents of our church, you know, if it's a brand new family and you're not sure how to handle it, get Brother Bowen and we'll figure it out. All right, but if it's one of our members of our church, then go get the parent. You know, ask them to come out and say, hey, he's not or she's not listening, and she keeps disrupting or he keeps disrupting, and then let the parent handle it. So don't let it get out of control. All right, does anybody have any questions or comments on that, or maybe scenarios where they've seen that happen before? All right. I know I've been a part of classes where we've had to do similar things. So, all right, keep the kids involved. If they're involved and they believe that they matter and they're a part of it, they'll stay engaged. They'll stay a part of it. Okay. As always, I encourage class parties, class outings. And if you want to do that, just get with Brother Bowen or myself and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this outside of the classroom or even in the classroom. And if we're able to, we'll even fund it. So you want to do a class outing and you want to go somewhere, or you want to do something. I encourage that. And I know our classes are small. We're a small church and we're, you know, praying to grow, and we invite people to come. But just because we're a smaller church and have smaller classes doesn't mean that class needs to be special to those kids. Right? We don't need to not make it special just because there's only a couple there. I don't care if it's one there. They need to know, hey, I love my Sunday school class. All right? So I encourage you to do something. All right? But again, if it's an outing outside of the church, make sure you talk to Brother Bowen or myself, and we'll discuss it. All right? Every year our classes take on missionaries for support. I want you to keep doing that. I encourage you to decorate your room. Change it up for the, you know, these are just things to keep it where it's not boring. Decorate, change it for the holidays. When they come in for a different holiday, oh, look, the room is different. They're not walking into the same room every Sunday. Change it up. Decorate it. If you have a theme that you're teaching through, maybe it's the fruit of the Spirit, or maybe it's the armor of God or something, decorate your room for that theme for the next 6 weeks. All right, just things that you can throw out there. All right, let me go over this last thing, and then I'm going to get Miss Melanie up, and she has plenty of time. On your table there is an agreement. We do this every year. And these are just things that we ask that you abide by. And I go over it every year because if we ever have a problem, then I can say, hey, we've already talked about this. I don't have to come pull you aside and say, hey, now it's a problem. You know, we're talking about it now. All right. So I'm just going to just walk through these real quick. And then what I want you to do, there's a teacher copy and a church copy. When we're finished, if you agree to these things, just sign your name, put the date. And then at the very bottom, if you're currently teaching a class, if you would like to continue teaching, mark that. If you want a break from your class, all right, there's nothing wrong with that, mark that. If you would like to resign your class and maybe do another class, you can mark that. If you would like to, if you're not currently teaching a class, but you would like to be considered for a teaching position, or even you don't want to teach a class, but you're okay being a backup, and you can mark all that apply. And if there's a certain class that you know, you specifically would like to do, you can mention that too, but that doesn't mean you'll get it. All right. So just quickly, we ask that if you're teaching here at the church, that the ladies, no pants at any church functions, okay? And that includes any church functions here at the church or outside of the church building. If it's a church function, please do not wear pants. All right, men, when you're teaching, want you to wear a tie, okay? If you're teaching, please arrive early and be prepared. Number four, please have a burden for your class. That goes all the way back to where we started on preparation. If you do not have a burden for the class you're teaching, then you don't need to be teaching that class. All right? Please have a burden for it. Please do the best you can to maintain the moral standards outside of the church in line with the standards and teaching of our church. Okay? It would be an awful thing for you to be teaching about the holiness of God and how, you know, we need to obey God's word, and then one of the students that you teach sees you outside of church and just absolutely going in direct contradiction to the word of God. So please try to maintain some moral standards outside the church in line with the standard teachings of the church. No tobacco of any kind. That's for any of our Southern Baptist brethren that might come over during the church one. Only the King James Bible seems like it should be a given. But I have known pastors that have had teachers that have come in and had other Bible versions they were using in their class. So we're not doing that. All right, all outings, class parties must be approved by the pastor. Only music acceptable to our church standards will be used. Okay, there's absolutely no contemporary Christian music. All right, please notify me. I'm giving the clause there. You can let Brother Bowen know as well. The pastor reserves the right to change, modify class lessons, decorations, or any other classroom-related material. Reserve the right to dismiss the teacher at any time for not following the above. So take that and look over it. I know there's been a few that have said, I want to go home and pray about this. That's fine too. Pray over it. And listen, if you decide you don't want to do and don't want to sign that, that's fine. That's between you and God. It really is. You just won't be teaching here at the church. All right? But, that doesn't mean you can't come to church. It doesn't mean you can't still serve in other areas. You just can't get up and teach a class. All right? So, I didn't mean to have a downer part right here before Miss Melanie comes. But it is good to have Sister Melanie here. I'm very thankful for her and known her for several years now. And I'd like her to give her testimony and whatever else the Lord lays on our heart. So if you don't mind, we'll just go about 5 minutes before. Yeah. And if you're not that long, that's fine too. Yeah. You don't mind.
Brother McAfee let me come today, and he asked me to share my testimony, so I'll do that. Well, I got saved when I was 8. A lot of y'all know my dad. He's a pastor. And I can remember the very first time I got under conviction. We were having a revival meeting at our church, and I knew I was lost, but I was terrified. I was such a shy kid. I was so scared to go forward that I didn't do it. But not long after that, I was talking with my parents one night, and they explained to me how to be saved, and I was good. I felt like, yeah, this is good. This is what I need to do, but I was just terrified. But anyway, I didn't get saved that night. But not long after that, I was alone, completely alone in my bedroom, and I just had enough. And I was just begging God, please save me. I can't do this anymore. Please just save me. And he did. He gave me perfect peace in that moment. I knew that a change had happened in my heart, and there was joy there. And so I'm going to bring up something very personal. I hope this isn't offensive to anybody. But after that point, I had a lot of doubts about my salvation through the years. I mean, this continued probably until I was 19 or 20 years old. And I didn't understand what was going on, but looking back, now I kind of see. God finally showed me that I just had to believe in him and believe that his word was true and that he had done what he said he would do and he would continue to do it in my life. You know, I was his. And so I think really what helped me with that is watching my nieces grow up. Some of y'all know some of my nieces, and I hope this isn't oversharing, but I've got two nieces that have the exact same personality that I do. Very kind of, I don't know, almost a sensitive spirit. You just pay attention to everything and try to like overthink things. And so I watched them go through the same doubts and the same fears. And I was like, wait a minute, this might be more of a personality issue than a spiritual problem as I was watching. So anyway, God helped me with that. And it helped me learn to be very careful in dealing with certain kinds of kids. You know, because when I was a kid growing up, I thought that every point of every message applied directly to me. That, wow, I must have this problem. You know, never been to a bar, but wow, somehow I must have done something wrong here. You know, he's talking about this. So this was kind of the way it was. So God helped me with that and helped me in growing. And Sunday school was such a big part of our lives. Like, I'm so thankful for my parents. They got married really young. They got saved right after they got married. They made so many mistakes. But one thing they really did do was put God first in our lives. And so every part of the church we were there, and Sunday school was exciting. Like, that was the reason I wanted to go to church. It was fun. I had some really good teachers and some really not good teachers. Like, some of my favorite teachers, I can remember how they would make things interesting. And one of our teachers, we loved her so much, but she was an older lady, and she literally came in the classroom and read her lessons to us, and we had the figures, so she'd pick a kid to put the figures up, and when it got time to put the figures, she'd say, place figure 5B, like, this is what she did. But hey, we learned something. So our church had like a systematic plan of going through the Bible in Sunday school, and I think that really helped me as a kid to have some kind of foundation, like y'all were talking about, in the scriptures. And that was a blessing. I had, when we were just about to leave Memphis and move down to Mississippi, we went to a church for a little while. It was a really good church. It was on fire for God. And I had an amazing Sunday school teacher. I was in the fifth grade, but like, I can still remember her lessons and the things that she taught strictly to girls that we needed to hear. And all that stuff stuck in my brains. And even today when I'm dealing with girls and teaching them, I go back to those lessons that she gave us, you know, all those years ago. So she's, to me, in my brain, she's one of those really good examples. But after we came through that, we moved to Mississippi. We were in another good church for a little while before my dad started his church. And we had some good teachers there too. But one of the things that kind of stuck out in my mind was our youth teacher. Man, he knew the Bible. One of the smartest men I've ever seen. But the kids in the class were really struggling. Like, some of them were going out on the weekends drinking. Like, they were having real issues in their lives. But he taught us all about the tabernacle. Like, we could identify all the parts of the tabernacle, but we couldn't have basic moral standards, you know, in our lives. So that was kind of interesting. But, you know, God uses things in our lives. I can remember sitting in that church and thinking, God, these same people in this church have been teaching Sunday school for years and years and years. I grow up and I continue being in this church, I'll never be able to teach anybody anything, you know, because these people have had their place for 30 years and this is just how it's rolling. And I don't know why those things came in my brain, but they did. But anyway, Sunday school, it meant a lot to us. And I think the big thing that comes in my mind about it is just redeeming the time. I mean, those little kids, we don't know what they're doing. We don't know what their future holds, but we know that God's given and trusted us with them. Like, that's huge. So God, He put a love in my heart for teaching. When my dad started our church over in Mississippi, I was like 16. I was still a mess. I got my heart right with God when I was like 17, almost 18. But we had a lot going on. When that church started, it just kind of grew pretty fast. And my dad didn't have any help. So my sister and I became the Sunday school teachers, you know. We had ages 2 to 16 all in one room, and we were like 17 and 18. Like, it was insane, but that's what was there. So that's what we did. But it was really neat to see how God used that in our lives, because as we develop relationships with those kids that He gave us to teach, that's the thing that really burdened us to want to have like a Christian school in our church and to want to spend more time with them. And that experience there in the Christian school is what led or allowed me or prepared me to be able to go to the mission field. And so that was a big deal. We had kids in our church that were homeschooling on their own. And then they'd come to Sunday school and we'd spend all the time together we could. We'd take them to the nursing homes. We'd do everything we could with those kids. But we knew that we needed to have a greater impact in our lives. So that led to the Christian school, which is what led me to the mission field. And so I'm thankful for that. So when I got to Papua New Guinea, of course, one of my first jobs was teaching Sunday school again, which was neat because I got to learn about the culture that way, right? Was so different. Like, those kids would come, and we did have a classroom we could use, but we'd all sit in the floor in a circle, right? And so the lady who was doing the teaching, I didn't have the language, and I thank God that I got to teach with that lady, but she would teach almost like she was preaching to the kids, you know, and they'd sing a few songs and we'd have a good time. But it was kind of hilarious because the kids over there are not taught right from wrong. If you want to figure out how to raise the worst human possible, you will raise them how these parents raise their kids. Like, it's like they try very hard to teach them to be manipulative, and I don't even know how to explain it, but it's tough. So these kids, they would go completely wild in this Sunday school class. So we had this kid that I called the enforcer. He was about 11 or 12, and the teacher would give him a stick. And when somebody would act up, I mean, he's just getting after these kids. I'm like, okay, this is one way to do it. There you go. We're maintaining a little bit of order here. But I've watched those kids, like, even that environment was so much better to them than what they were used to. They were so happy to come to Sunday school. I can remember two kids. They were twins. Their names are Micah and Gremix. And over there, twins are, in the bush, they're still considered that one of them has an evil spirit. Where I live, the people will not admit that they believe that, but they certainly act like they believe that. So Mike and Gramax, one lived with his mother, one lived with his grandmother. They lived right beside each other, but they didn't want them to be twins, okay? So Gramax came to our Christian school, Micah did not, but they both came to Sunday school. Like, and they acted like they didn't know each other half the time, but they were sitting over there listening and learning and glad to be there. And, you know, traditionally or culturally, one of them wouldn't even be alive, but these kids were able to come to church and hear the gospel, and I'm thankful for that. So God allowed me to help a lady. I love this lady to this day. Her name is Angela, with that Sunday school class there. And then when missionary Justin Dye started a new church over in Kumeyaay, it was my job to teach Sunday school there because Justin and his wife Kaylee didn't have the language yet. And so we went over there and did that. And literally the first day we went to do Sunday school, there were like 6 or 7 kids there, but the word got out in the community. And so the next Sunday we showed up expecting our 6 or 7 kids, and there's like 30 kids sitting there. And then it grows to even more than that. And it was neat in that community to watch. We literally had one little girl that was pulled away from the service. Like, her mother came and drug her away by her ear because, you know, we don't belong to Baptists. We belong to this. other religion. And in the culture there, they pull their religion like they pull their clan name or their family name, like, no, we are this and we're never going to change. And so there were some real challenges there, but we saw kid after kid get saved. Like, it's amazing how you can watch God work in their lives, you know, week to week in that place. So there were a few adjustments definitely we had to make, like Brother McAfee was saying, make it stick into one point. I had to completely adjust how I teach over there, because you can't be vague at all. You have to be extremely direct. You have to say what you mean and get to the point, and then, okay, come at it from another angle and prove your point again, and come at it from another angle and prove your point again. And that was a huge adjustment, just learning how to do that. And then learning how to deal with the culture. Like, for those kids, if you step over their feet, you've just cursed them, okay? So just paying attention to stuff like that and understanding a little bit of where they're coming from, that was kind of difficult. My good friend Amber Wells, Brother Chad's oldest daughter, she is like one of my favorite teaching partners in existence. Like, you talk about overprepared, like, she's got it down. Everything's going to be lined up, ready, and then she's flexible enough to let it go. If it never happens, fine, but she's prepared and she's ready. So she started a Sunday school class in another village, and this was a very good lesson for me. That village was like, the only church they had there were SDAs and Seventh-day Adventists. And so she's got her class going. She's got 30 or 40 kids. She's like, I'm going to make this more exciting. We're going to start a Sunday school contest. We're going to get your names. And if you bring a visitor, we're going to give you points, and we're going to end up with a prize. A very like American concept, right? Which we think we're being lazy if we don't do all this stuff. But what happened was, as soon as she took the kids' names down, they all quit coming to Sunday school. So their parents found out she had taken their names, and they're like, you can't have your name in a Baptist Sunday school. We are SDA. Your grandparents are SDA. We can't do this. And so she lost her entire class because of just trying to make it better. So it's just little cultural things that are hard to understand. Eventually, those kids did come back. They got sick of whatever else they were doing, and they came back. But anyway, I just know that Sunday school is a huge opportunity to impact eternity. And those kids that drive us the most insane are usually the kids with the most potential. Like, we want the perfect little student to stare at us and all of this, but those kids are usually not the ones that end up changing the world, you know? The kid who drives you nuts and couldn't sit still if you paid him, they've got that drive God put inside them, that special, I don't know, special something from him that they're going to actually do something. So anyway, I think that's about all I wanted to say. I know one thing that was, I think, is amazing that Kaylee does. Kaylee is Justin Dye's wife. So our team is three families. I'm calling myself a family because I have kids I take care of. And so Justin and his wife, Kaylee, have been on the field since 2019. So she really got a burden for her ladies there in Kumeyaane. Try to help their homes better to be better, and to help their marriages to be better, and their parenting. Because like I said, there's no concept. There are 2 and 3 year olds that just toddle around the villages. Nobody knows what they're doing all day long. Like, it's incredible. So she decided to help her ladies with class. And so I've loved to watch her, because in America, we don't get in anybody's business, right? You just don't. But over there, if I want to tell you what you did wrong to me and how you offended me, I can do it in front of 50 people. I can spell it all out. Nobody's surprised. That's just how they do things. And so for this class, Kaylee's teaching them how to be mothers and wives and all of this. And she's telling them exactly what they need to work on. And they're listening. They're soaking it in. And what I love about it is she gives them homework. So you can't even teach the ladies to love their husbands because they don't like their husbands, right? And so she's like, what can you do this week to show your husband that you do like him? You know, give me something. And they'll come up with something like, you know, he really likes cow sweet potatoes. I'm going to start cooking it instead of telling him to find his own food today. And so she'll say, okay, you're going to do this week, and next week you're going to come back. And she writes it down. She remembers it, and she asks him. She's like, okay, so this week, how did this go? Did you actually do this? Did you smile at him instead of yell at him when he came in the door? What did you do? And so she gets the reports back. So to me, that's the humility to invade someone else's life, you know, because our pride says, well, they're not going to listen to that from me. You know, I'm not going to put myself out there in that way, but it could completely change a life. And yeah. And we've had to do that over there. And I think it could be useful here to grab those same things. I care enough about you to put myself out and to hurt or to be involved in your situation. So I think that's about all that I wanted to mention. I'm sorry, but yeah, I don't speak very long. Thank you.
The women here just hide it better. They don't like their husbands either, probably. No, I appreciate that, Miss Melanie. And some of the things she mentioned in her testimony goes back to everything we've talked about today, even in different cultures, about trying to have a focal point. So, all right, before we pray, I guess the food will be here in just a minute, right, Brother Bowen? They're already here? Okay. All right, so we'll go ahead and pray. And let them bring that in and get started on that. But I hope this was a blessing. Again, I don't want this just to be a routine thing, like I talked about, that's boredom. I hope it encourages us. I'm very thankful for our teachers. Please keep doing what you're doing. And again, hopefully this has been helpful. So let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us, God. We thank you for being a great God and a great Savior. We thank you so much for the opportunity we have to come together and thank the church, Lord. God, we're so blessed, and I'm very thankful. I pray you just bless them, Father. Help us this year to be good stewards of the opportunity and responsibilities that you've given us. Thank you for Miss Melanie, Lord, her testimony. And Father, I pray you bless this time of fellowship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.